You're listening to an African Elements top news story for April 20th, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Syracuse-led poisoning victory, defeating environmental racism. New York Attorney General Letitia James secured a monumental victory against Syracuse landlords today. The state announced the comprehensive settlement on April 20th, 2026. Brian and Harry Murphy faced severe financial penalties for persistent housing violations. They managed 23 rental properties plagued by rapidly deteriorating lead paint. This aggressive legal action addresses decades of profound environmental racism in the city. Environmental racism systematically places minority communities into highly hazardous living conditions. Black families frequently suffer the absolute worst consequences of these targeted historical policies. Between 2017 and 2025, at least 7 children suffered severe lead poisoning. They lived in unsafe homes managed directly by the Murphy family. The state ordered the landlords to pay over $100,000 in penalties. This settlement creates a crucial tenant relief fund for affected families. It holds property owners entirely accountable for involuntary poisoning. The ruling represents a profound shift toward meaningful environmental justice. Decades of systemic neglect finally face serious legal repercussions. The current lead poisoning crisis connects directly to historical segregation. The government previously designed policies to concentrate poverty in specific areas. During the 1930s, the federal government endorsed highly discriminatory lending practices. The Homeowners Loan Corporation created residential security maps in 1937. These official maps classified various Syracuse neighborhoods based entirely on racial demographics. Government officials outlined the 15th Ward and the South Side in red ink. They officially deemed these areas completely hazardous for any financial investment. The primary reason for this harsh classification was the black population. This devastating practice became widely known across the country as redlining. Redlining completely denied black families the basic ability to gain home equity. Families could never afford to move to newer suburban housing developments. They remained entirely trapped in aging, rapidly decaying housing structures. Disinvestment caused property values to plummet across these marginalized neighborhoods. Predatory slum landlords eventually purchased these buildings to extract cheap rent. Over 90% of Syracuse housing predates the 1978 lead ban. Lead paint peeled and turned into highly hazardous dust over time. The historical architecture of exclusion built this modern health disaster. Examining this complex history reveals the true destructive nature of anti-black politics. The intentional destruction of the 15th Ward accelerated the urban lead crisis. City leaders enthusiastically embraced urban renewal projects during the 1950s. Planners actively targeted the 15th Ward for complete and total demolition. This thriving neighborhood contained 90% of the black population in Syracuse. It featured numerous black-owned businesses and a vibrant middle-class community. Planners decided to route the massive Interstate 81 viaduct directly through it. Officials considered building a bypass route around the outer city limits. They rejected the alternative route to secure more lucrative federal funding. City leadership primarily wanted easy downtown access for white suburban commuters. They sacrificed black community health for simple suburban convenience. The massive construction project displaced over 1,300 black families forever. These families moved into heavily segregated and extremely under-resourced housing districts. The new living arrangements concentrated vulnerable residents in older, lead-filled buildings. The viaduct physically divided the city and trapped dangerous, toxic pollutants. The highway construction stands as a landmark act of environmental racism. Surviving such intentional community destruction required incredible resilience. Displaced residents forged an unbreakable history of survival against impossible odds. Elevated blood lead levels caused truly devastating health consequences for young children. Health experts constantly confirm that absolutely no safe level of lead exists. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sets the reference level at 3.5 micrograms per deciliter. Exposure causes permanent neurological damage and severe learning disabilities. Advocates accurately describe this horrific phenomenon as a form of generational theft. It completely steals the intellectual and economic future of the community. In Onondaga County, racial disparities in lead poisoning remain absolutely staggering. Black children face a completely disproportionate risk of severe toxic exposure. They are almost 6 times as likely as white children to suffer. In 2021, 11.6% of black children tested had elevated levels. Only 2.0% of white children showed similar toxic levels. The geographic concentration of this poisoning is equally disturbing. The city of Syracuse maintains a 9.3% elevated level rate. The rest of Onondaga County sits at only 0.9%. Five specific zip codes account for 76% of the poisoning cases. In some Southside census tracts, nearly 1 in 5 children suffers. This data clearly illustrates the ongoing, deadly legacy of systemic neglect. Black workers and families constantly fight for economic justice against these manufactured barriers. Peeling lead paint represents the most common childhood exposure pathway. However, lead in drinking water creates a massive compounding community crisis. Syracuse recently discovered a severe problem hidden within its aging water infrastructure. Independent testing in late 2024 revealed truly shocking contamination data. Over 25% of sampled households exceeded federal water action levels. Some test results showed an alarming 70 parts per billion of lead. This massive number is almost 5 times the Environmental Protection Agency limit. It also represents more than double the levels found during the Flint water crisis. Over 14,000 homes in Syracuse currently receive water through lead pipes. This infrastructure creates a terrifying double exposure for vulnerable young children. Infants face the most extreme risks from contaminated municipal tap water. Caregivers frequently mix baby formula using poisoned municipal water. Exposure continues even in homes where landlords eventually fix paint hazards. The overlapping crises demand an immediate and comprehensive emergency health response. Grassroots organizations proudly lead the heavy fight for environmental justice in Syracuse. The community group Families for Lead Freedom Now demands immediate government action. Oceana Fair and Darlene Medley serve as highly prominent leaders within the organization. Both women powerfully transformed their personal tragedies into effective public advocacy. Fair works as the South Branch leader for the dedicated community group. She is a former traveling nurse who deeply understands the medical trauma. Her brother suffered poisoning decades ago, and her grandchild recently suffered. Medley serves tirelessly as the West Side Branch leader. She is the mother of twins who experienced severe lead poisoning. They previously lived in a rental property filled with hidden lead hazards. These leaders used their painful experiences to push for lasting systemic change. They successfully advocated for the powerful 2020 Syracuse Lead Ordinance. The activists now fiercely demand a formal state of emergency regarding water contamination. They consistently force the city to view lead as a civil rights violation. Their relentless organizing perfectly exemplifies profound survival and adaptation. The recent legal settlements represent a major shift toward restorative justice. Restorative justice intensely focuses on repairing the specific harm caused to victims. Previously, the local enforcement system failed completely to protect vulnerable tenants. City inspectors constantly struggled to manage a massive property registry gap. Many negligent landlords flatly refused to register their rental properties with the city. This illegal evasion allowed them to skip mandatory, proactive safety inspections. When inspectors did catch violations, the financial penalties remained incredibly low. Local fines typically ranged from a mere $100 to $200 per incident. Landlords treated these tiny fines as a simple cost of doing business. They lacked any real financial incentive to repair highly dangerous homes. Attorney General Letitia James recognized this massive systemic failure immediately. The state utilized a specific executive law to intervene directly against offenders. The law allows the Attorney General to sue for persistent illegal acts. The state possesses broad enforcement powers that local city inspectors lack entirely. The state can permanently ban bad landlords from ever managing rental properties. This aggressive legal approach makes intentional neglect incredibly unprofitable for property owners. The Murphy settlement establishes incredibly rigid rules for future property management. The legal agreement specifically partitions the financial penalties into different restorative categories. The landlords must contribute exactly $35,000 to a direct tenant relief fund. They must also spend $80,000 on comprehensive property safety improvements. The settlement places strict, unyielding timelines on all required remediation work. Landlords must complete interior lead remediation within 90 days of state approval. They must meticulously finish all exterior structural repairs within 180 days. The state completely prohibits the landlords from fully exploiting public grant money. They can only use grants to cover 1/3 of the total repair costs. A third-party monitor will rigorously oversee all future construction work. These specific properties now face mandatory annual lead hazard safety inspections. The community remains vigilant as the city prepares for major infrastructure changes. the massive Interstate 81 viaduct demolition project begins in 2026. Activists warn that demolition will release dangerous fugitive dust into neighborhoods. This toxic dust contains lead paint and old gasoline residue. The recent settlement creates a strong precedent for mandatory community protection. The continuous fight against environmental racism requires constant community vigilance. The victory in Syracuse serves as a brilliant blueprint for other cities. Local organizing can successfully challenge decades of deeply discriminatory housing policies. Federal environmental regulations frequently face intense political scrutiny under current administrations. Donald Trump currently serves as president, meaning local enforcement remains absolutely critical for survival. The federal government often shifts priorities entirely away from environmental justice initiatives. Therefore, states must wield their full legal authority to protect vulnerable populations. The New York Attorney General forcefully proved that state power can overcome local inaction. Grassroots leaders will passionately continue to fight for clean water and safe housing. The history behind these headlines reveals a profound truth about deep systemic inequality. True justice requires holding historical perpetrators financially accountable for the generational harm they cause. Communities will no longer accept toxic environments as an unavoidable reality. Copyright African Elements.